It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night at Citi Field, the building shook. And for the first time since winning the pennant in 2000, which was a million years ago, the New York Mets partied and fans got to party celebrating a series victory. And the man who was on the call with some more brilliant calls was the voice of the New York Mets, Howie Rosen. He joins us courtesy of Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. Howie, how you feeling 24 hours later?
Hey, thanks, guys. But I think the vocal cords can use a few days right about now.
That is why we're
luckily
only,
you got it.
That's why we're taking you for like 8 minutes and we're going to give you a break. I promise this is going to be one of those hour sessions.
Whatever you need, I'm here for you.
Is it surreal what this team has done? I know they've been great for a while, but like I'm standing there last night thinking, I can't believe we're witnessing this, and this is happening again. What was going through your mind as everything was going down?
Well, there was some of that, and I got to tell you what else I'm thinking, because, and this applies to you, Evan, and your entire generation, and even the one that, and I know you have a child, but it's also a little too early for him, I think, to really understand it all. But, you know, I've been talking about 1969 and 1986 forever. Mm. It's time for the younger generation of Mets fans to have a championship team they can latch onto and have the same kind of emotions 40, 50 plus years down the road that I do about the guys from the 69 team and the 86 team. All I could think of is, you know, I'm the old guy now, so I look to my right in the booth, and there's Keith Radd, and my daughters are in his age range. Right. And I look in the stands out in front of me, and so many of them, they're so young, and when it comes to Mets postseason baseball, inexperienced, that I want this for them as much as I want selfishly to be able to call a Mets World Championship, but moreover, it's for the fans and particularly the younger one.
Now, I appreciate that, because I think that while we admire 86 and 69, mm-hmm. after a while, it's like, when do we get ours?
Right.
You know
what
I
mean?
Yeah,
true.
I get it.
You know, does this feel magic to you, magical? Because I hate it as a former player saying, oh, it's destiny and there's just something here. But you hear it every week or all week this last week or so. There's just a magical moment. Whether it was against Atlanta, whether it was against Milwaukee, it just feels like it just keeps happening.
Well, I'll take it back to the last time the Mets had been at Citi Field prior to this series, and that was that Sunday night game against the Phillies when Francisco Alvarez made a throw to third base that hit the third base back.
Right.
And 99 times out of 100 winds up either in left field or far enough away in foul territory that runner on third comes home, and I think that would have tied the game had that happened. But almost magically, it bounced right into you know, Mark Vientos's glove. So I think every once in a while you see a play like that and you go, okay, maybe there's something going on here. But you don't really embrace that until after the fact. And the cold, hard fact is that this has been great, but they haven't won anything yet. I mean, they're going to the National League Championship Series, and that's phenomenal. And there's one more step to take after that. But that's still 8 wins and a long, long way off. However, you embrace getting to this moment, and I think more so than most because it was so unexpected.
No question about it. We're talking to the voice of the Mets, Howie Rose. Yesterday's game was so frustrating for the first 5.5 innings.
Right.
When you look at all the blown opportunities that they had, and right before Lindor came up, it continued because Francisco Alvarez had a ground ball to shortstop, bases loaded, nobody out, same thing. They can't score a run. When Lindor came up, and it's so easy to say after the fact, but I swear I felt this way, I had this sense, okay, it's about to change now. Did you have that sense when Lindor came up?
Look, if you know me, no, I never do. You know? Yeah. Hey, I've lived these last 38 years with you too, you know?
Right.
So, you know, you just, the thing I worried about, and I said this on the air, by the time the second inning was over and the game was scoreless at that point, you know, you leave the bases loaded twice in the first 2 innings. Both times they loaded the bases, it was before there were 2 out, you know. So you see those opportunities go by without cashing anything in. And then you say to yourself, I've seen this game 1,000 times before.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a feeling of how it's going to go. You just waited for the Phillies to have their crooked number inning. And, you know, the one run they got was unearned on the Vientos era, but you know, when they got out of that next inning, 1-0, I said, well, okay, at least I think they've got their sea legs back. And then Suarez looked like he was starting to find it a little bit. And again, you just hold out hope that from a Mets perspective, they can hang in long enough to maybe reawaken. And with all the opportunities, and some of them, you know, provided on almost with an engraved invitation, the way the Phillies bullpen was trying to get the Mets back into it again with the wild pitches and all, I certainly hope that Lindor would have done something that magical. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of you know, speechless at this point.
Howie, Evan always talks about the circle of trust when it comes to the Mets bullpen. Where are you at with Edwin Diaz? I felt watching at home, it's different, obviously, from being in the atmosphere, that he was working really fast. I know he always works fast, but this one felt really fast. And he was chomping on his gum like you couldn't believe. And it was like he was anxious to just get it done.
That's a good point about working fast. But we mention that on the air all the time, that right. He's one of really a relatively few number of pitchers, at least to my estimation, that they just get the ball back and they're raring to go. That's right. Ben Edwards. So I didn't see him as being at a quicker pace last night than he had been earlier. But what I did see was the same sort of erratic result that's been all too frequent lately. So, yeah, I mean, there were some nerves there. And you know, he walks the first batter, and then you go, okay, well, settle in. And you know, he's throwing. It's not like he wasn't throwing his fastball. He wasn't locating his fastball. I didn't think he had a slider at all.
Right.
And so, you know, it became very evident as he was missing with the fastball, and I'm unable to get results with his slider for the most part, that he's going to have to start throwing that fastball for strikes and hope to find the same explosiveness that he did 2 years ago, because it's not, and I said this on the air, it's not about his velocity.
No.
It's about his location. It's about his command. But I'm telling you, he walks those first 2, and then Cody Clemens comes up. He doesn't hit, if he doesn't get Clemens, he's out of the game.
I think so, yeah.
Stanek was ready.
Yeah.
And that would not have been a very tempting situation because Diaz is still supposedly your guy. But luckily, he refocused. He started getting that fastball over. And thankfully, the results are what they were.
You know, I thought about this in the moment, and that was, why not just let David Peterson finish the job? And it's tough because I know Edwin's the closer, and this is the guy. And if they're going to win the World Series, he's going to have to get big outs. Did you think about that? Do you think it would have been a good decision to keep David Peterson in the game the way he was thrown?
Given that he has stretched out and has been successful And I know that you were getting down to the bottom of the order there. And the fact that if he faltered in the least, you could have Diaz ready to go. Yeah, I would not at all have minded if that's how it turned out. In fact, I remember thinking when they got out of the top of the eighth inning that I'm not so sure I wouldn't send Peterson out for the ninth. But I understand the way the game is played and managed 95% of the time right now. And Carlos said after the game that it was always going to be Diaz. And in all likelihood, it was, because Carlos is not going to share with us whatever level of doubt or consternation he might have had. But given the recent events, maybe the one thing that kind of tipped it in Edwin's favor is his dominance of Schwarber. Remember, he struck him out with a slider to get out of that, what was it, seventh inning, I guess,
in
game two. And he had been, I think it was 0-for-7 with 8 strikeouts going into that last at-bat against Schwarber. So, you know, they had that going for them. But it wouldn't have bothered me if I saw Peterson go out and start the ninth inning. But I don't think they wanted Diaz to come in with men on base either.
Right. What do you do moving forward with David Peterson? Do you use him as a weapon out of the bullpen? How do you handle him?
He's a weapon, period.
Yeah.
And remember, you're going into a couple of 7-game series now. And, you know, the other at least quasi-weapon that they've got is Kodai Senga. Because everything I was hearing, and I'm curious how much more rope he might have had, but everything I'd been hearing, unofficially, of course, was that if they went to a game 5, which would have been tomorrow night, it's a pretty good chance Senga was going to start that game. And they'd have probably piggybacked Peterson with him. But what happens in these short series is that when you've got a chance to, you know, finish the job, you adjust, and whatever creativity you've got to display, then you do that. And look at what Dave Roberts has been doing. Now, I've not been in contact or paying much attention over the last couple of hours because I've been running around doing a bunch of other things. I know Darvish is already named for San Diego tomorrow, but I was hearing before I went to do other stuff today that are they still thinking of another bullpen game tomorrow for the Dodgers?
Yeah. I mean, they may.
Seriously.
It's crazy.
With you get to 2 win-or-go-home games, and they're both bullpen games?
I know.
Yeah, you've got Yamamoto, they've got Yamamoto good to go. They've got Flaherty good to go, don't they? On full rest.
Both would be on regular rest. They could start either guy. And I still assume they will. Like, if I had to guess, I think Yamamoto's starting, but Dave Roberts hasn't announced anything yet, so we don't know. We don't know what he's going to do.
I don't either, but man, nobody likes bullpen games. The results may be favorable to the manager who puts one together on any given night, but you know, I remember when that starting pitcher drove the gate and created the suspense before he even threw a first pitch.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of stuff has changed, but man, 2 straight bullpen games as elimination games?
Yeah.
That's really something else.
What would you do with Jeff McNeil? I mean, it seems like he's close to coming back. Like, I guess what I'm kind of scared about is, am I just throwing him into the lineup? Who am I sitting? Is he a bat off the bench? Like, what would you do with Jeff McNeil if he's deemed ready?
Well, I think you have to consider the options and what would dictate getting Jeff back on the roster. Now, you look on one side of the ledger and you've got Acuna, who gives you the speed and the defensive flexibility and versatility on the infield. I know he's played center field. I don't see a scenario where that would happen during the postseason. Acuna's been a nice little weapon to have, but I think the one thing that would tip the scales in McNeil's favor, if there is any back and forth on this at all, is the fact that if you start and they've got right-handers, and well, I'm looking at the Dodgers anyway right now, you know, if you have Jesse Winker in the starting lineup as your DH, then you've got all right-hand hitters on the bench. And so I think the fact that they get an extra left-handed bat would be a benefit. And, you know, it is a bat that produced a batting title just 2 years ago. That's not a bad option to plug in either. So I think if they feel that they were able to get him however many at-bats in a couple of Arizona Fall League games, that might, as I say, work in Jeff's favor. So I think if they feel he's good to go, he'll be on the roster. That's my opinion. I don't know that from talking to anybody.
Do you have a preferred opponent? There's obviously a little bit of history with both. The Dodgers going back to the NLCS of 88, and obviously the division series that they played in 06 and 15. The Padres, it's recent. It's 2 years ago. But for you, maybe it's where you want to eat dinners. I don't know. Do you have a preferred opponent in the NLCS?
I have learned never to try to pick your dance partner. I think if the Padres and Dodgers want to rumble all night tomorrow night, that's great.
Yes.
And whoever gets through it, mazel tov. But I would not even dare imagine that one would be easier prey than the other, because at this stage, there is no easy prey. And when you start thinking you've got somebody's number, see Mets come in 1988, then believe me, those guys, and I know a bunch of them, and two of them broadcast games for the Mets right now, they've never gotten over 88, and they never will.
No.
And so if you think that maybe there's some kind of connection where this would make up for that, no, totally different scenario. Same even with the Padres of 2 years ago.
Yep.
No. And obviously, you know, they're missing Musgrove now, and that's something to consider as well. But, hey, whatever those guys do to each other tomorrow night, take all night if you want to and make it as rough and tumble as you want.
That's right. We don't have those dopey extra inning rules, so go play a real 18-inning extra inning game. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Howie. Great call. The calls have been unbelievable. You are the perfect soundtrack to this October run, so thank you for that,
thank
Howie.
Thank you, Howie.
It's so nice of you both. Thank you. I appreciate it.
The great Howie Rose, courtesy of Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. You hear Howie here on the Odyssey Mets Radio Network.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.